where the corn stands high and has the sky on the great plains of old Nebraska. School I learned the men who died by the gun, but not of those who died by the horse. And many a farm and flood I've got very long. Where are the hands that plow fields without speech and save the dying calf without rest? And where's the feet to walk down a hundred trails on the way to seek their fortune going west? And where are the fathers who died in the dust and mothers who died hungry in the snow? And where's the kids who watch the banks while the house is down? Those are things I guess my teachers never know. Have you heard about a country where the rivers run free? That's a place where I think you ought to go. Where the corn stands high, tall as the sky, on the rich plains of old Nebraska.
Jerry, who is remembering a man who he's known for some time, who passed on last Tuesday, Daniel Brown.
The only good thing I could say that is he did die with a roof over his head.
Was homeless?
Well, for the last year and a half he was homeless, all of us were, after we lost our motor home in Seascape, I mean, Seacliff area. And being homeless, he had no place where he could get things together. And that drove him to a lot of drink, which eventually caused his passing on. The only thing I could say really good about him was that he died peacefully.
What did he die of?
Alcoholism.
He was, in fact, homeless before, because he was in the back 40 in 1991?
1991, he was homeless with me, and then his other good friends of mine, they also passed on, including my coming-in-law wife, Roxanne Lewis. And now just recently, three other individuals passed, and not to mention Emmanuel Gutierrez.
Manny. There's some question about whether that was a passing or a shoving, right?
That's right. And then there was a person we named who went by the name of Gramps, old Manny.
Papa Gramps?
Yeah. He died in the same vicinity as Manny died. And that was questionable also.
Back in 97, 96?
That was, about 96, somewhere in that area. And I myself, I've been off and on homeless due to my substance abuse. But now I'm trying to get better with it. And now that everything else turns into a bigger problem, I'm walking around here with heart problems now. And I can't take the right therapy that they want me on because in my homeless situation, they want me on Coumadin therapy, which is blood thinner. It has to be really regulated, and in order for that to happen, I have to have a roof over my head.
What kind of community house program?
Pace Smith.
Yes.
No, because I have no income right now. I've applied for Social Security, and
you're telling you can't apply without income? Because I understood it was 30% of your income if you have it.
Yes, that's true. 30%, but. Where's that 30% going to come out of? Food stamps?
But if you have it. If you don't have it, then you don't have to pay for it.
That's good. I couldn't really answer that.
You might want to go ask them, because I understand that now there are openings, is what I heard yesterday. So you might want to get on their list. I'm not sure, so I could be wrong.
Well, I can find out about it, and I can go through the homeless person's health project and get in contact with Paul or Elaine. And they work with me off and on.
Anything you want to say about Danny or anybody else, or Daniel? I didn't know Daniel Brown, but...
He was a good person, and he went into Bethany Bible College and went to Steve Stiles' CPAC class. He progressed through that and graduated and everything. He worked for New Life Center, helping abused people, and people with substance abuse problems. And that's the best way I know of him. And we've been friends since he came to Santa Cruz in 91.
Thank you, Jim.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
And there was a memorial for several people that Jerry, homeless man from way back now, I think in housing at the moment, was telling me about at the Homeless Services Center. In a past show, we played a tape from the memorial that happened on December, I think it was the 20th or the 21st, where the names of dead homeless people here in Santa Cruz who died recently were read aloud. I wasn't able to play all of that. I'm going to play a little bit more of it now, the actual public period where people actually called out names that the Homeless Service Center social service providers had not remembered and said some things. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathurst Pierre, Robert Norse, and call-in number is 427-3772. Stay with us.
I invite you now to add other names. Again, you're welcome to repeat names. You're welcome to add names if you think are not on the list. But just go ahead and speak with the names.
Michael Bateman, July of 99. Billy Trumbull, November of 97.
Tape quality of this could be better, so we're going to pass on that, although I think I did a better recording of Mama Joy later on in the tape, and I'll try to spin ahead to that. Now we're going to give a call to...
Hello.
We're giving a call to Roxanne Acostapacci. Hi, Roxanne.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
I'm good, and you're apparently getting hungrier every day. You've been going without food now, what, for 9 days?
Yeah. In fact, I'm just heating up a little bit of V8 juice and water. Isn't that some yummy?
Ooh. Remind me not to do that. So what puts you in this crazy frame of mind that you're going to starve yourself? What's the point here?
Well, I guess I just feel like we have to take some kind of a stronger step. We've done, as a group, all the activists have done everything they can to motivate the city council to a more compassionate, you know, take on the homeless. And it's been really clear with all the task force's findings that the sleeping ban and the camping ban are really adding to the beatings of the homeless and criminalizing it. And although city council would like to take a social services position on the homeless, they don't have the money to back that up.
And what do you mean by a social services position?
Well, they have said constantly that they want to They want to tackle the homeless problem from a social services standpoint, provide more services.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to do the things that are immediate and simple. They don't have the bank account to provide more services. So what it really means is that they're not going to do anything.
Are you saying that perhaps, I know Michael Rotkin has often said, bring me a social service program I like and all, and the funding sources for it, and I'll okay that, and that they'll provide shelter for homeless people if someone will offer it, and if the funding can be found. But in fact, since there are 700 to 1,500 homeless people in Santa Cruz, and I've raised that number from what I used to say, 500 to 1,500, since I think it's gone up, they won't.
Well, if there was funding, don't you think that the homeless programs would have tapped that funding by now, or the County of Santa Cruz? I mean,
in theory, there is funding, but of course, it's the police department that gets the funding. You know, the police department gets $13 million, but the homeless have to struggle to get to get any kind of significant percentage rise. I mean, even Christopher Crone, who doesn't seem to have the courage to stand up on this issue at the last two city council meetings, when I think it was really key in the middle of winter, admitted last summer when he walked angrily out of a meeting where they raised the police budget by a significant percentage but didn't do the same to the social services budget, that they don't have the will even to raise the social services budget. But even if they did, they can't shelter 1,500 people. I mean, they're not going to provide service. Right now they shelter 100 people in the winter and about, 30 people in the summer. I mean, it's just not going to happen that kind of shelter, at least from my point of view. What's your viewpoint on that?
Well, you know, not only do I agree with you, but they've missed the point completely, which is that the homeless do not trust social services.
Mm-hmm.
So many homeless that, have either been done dirty by social services or fear that they will be, they fall out of the way of any kind of program. I received a call not too long ago for help for a mother who found herself homeless, became very distressed going to the shelters and finding people there on drugs or using drugs, and so she's begged her social worker to please, wasn't there anything she could do to help her get a Section 8 or, you know, some kind of help finding housing, and the social worker removed her two children because they were being exposed to drugs.
In other words, separated the two children from the mother.
Yes. CPS took the two children.
Wow.
And because she was still homeless, she also had a baby due that was due by cesarean. They made plans to take that baby from her the minute that she delivered it.
So,
you tell me.
It's interesting you're saying this, because homeless is now going to become, at least this is the concern of a lot of people, a basis for believing a person is 5150-able, that is, to be put in a psychiatric institution if they change the law as they're talking about changing it statewide. I just thought I'd throw that in. Go ahead, though.
Well, do we have any institutions left that have any room? Haven't most of them been closed?
Well, the theory is that you lose your legal rights. Oh, yeah, I mean, you would, well, they've got old, decrepit nursing home conservatorship places they can sort of farm you out to that are kind of, I think, grim-type places. And the answer to your question is, I don't know. I don't know what the space situation is for folks who are in that situation, but I know that the rights situation is very, very bad. It'll even get worse if this new classification of being homeless somehow is equated to being incompetent, when in fact, of course, it's a complete reversal. It's the society that doesn't have the affordable housing, that doesn't have decent jobs for people, that's incompetent. It's not the individuals in many cases. At least that's the belief I have, and what the evidence has led me to conclude. But I mean,
well, I just don't think that most homeless are going to be amenable to social workers in their life and in their faith.
But even if they had, you know, twice or three times as many social workers and twice and three times as much shelter, there would still be 70-60% of the people would have to be outside, and they would still be subject to harassment and ticketing under the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban. And is that one of the focuses, one of the foci of your protest, of your fast?
It is. I've thought long and hard about it, and I see that there's really
no solution that's readily available other than either providing a safe place where people can go if you don't want them, you know, parking on streets and stuff, then provide a safe place. It would take very little
capital.
Very little capital to do that. Or, you know, drop the sleeping and camping vans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I noticed up on the west side of Santa Cruz, up over the beaches, that big Winnebagos park all night, and nothing happens to them. You know, people, tourists that come into town and stuff, the law isn't really applied equally.
Mm-hmm. That's been a frequent concern of people.
Well, and it's true. I mean, we watched a Winnebago that parked. We were house-sitting for a friend that parked night after night after night, a huge one. I mean, it took up, you know, half a block. And nothing ever happened to them, you know. And by the same token, over by Wrigley's and over where there was no houses whatsoever, we would see police patrolling and moving trailers and trucks and, you know, telling them to move on.
Well, indeed, we saw Officer Howes making the rounds, I guess, a couple months ago, trying to encourage people out at Almar Avenue to file a petition to set up no parking all night signs to stop homeless vehicles from parking there. He claiming that the sleeping ban was not, was not enforceable, which of course is a nonsense. They've been enforcing it regularly, and it's interesting. I don't know if you read the Sentinel regularly.
Never.
Well, I'll have to tell you about it then. it makes great kitty litter, I'll tell you. The Sentinel had a column recently, I guess by Daryl Cole. He didn't sign it, but it was I think it was today actually, today or yesterday. Stated that the sleeping ban tickets are way, way down, and that's good. But what it didn't state is the stats on harassment of people and what the effect of having a criminalization process in place that can be used and is in fact still used by Parks and Rec and by the police in terms of what impact this has on people who are being assaulted. I mean, we got this crazy story. I don't know if you read that. I mean, crazy isn't the word. It's just shocking beyond belief. I'm actually going to read it on the air a bit later in the show if I have time. The front page of the Sentinel, for once, headlined a story about the police reporting 51 assaults on homeless people in the last year. And 51 assaults on homeless people is like three or four times their percentage in the population.
So right. Is that from the front page a few days ago?
Yes.
Yeah. I did see those statistics.
Now, absent from that story, of course, was any discussion of whether there had been any arrests in any of these cases, or much less convictions. And also absent from that story was any comparison of data from previous years. One thing that Chief Belcher and some of his subordinates, like Jeff Locke, Vice Chief, and Sergeant Butchie Baker, Sergeant Steve Clark, have stated on different occasions, is that there is no hate crime problem in Santa Cruz, no troll busters going around beating up homeless people just because they're homeless. When, in fact, many of the reports I got, and I got reports of beatings, they ranged from about 30 to 50 by the time around October or November, and only four of that group of beatings had been reported to the police by the first and second-hand reports. So if you use the same figure, you actually will have hundreds of homeless beatings that are not being reported to police.
Well, you know, all you have to do is stand at a middle school bus stop. I mean, a girl who has hair on her legs is considered a troll and someone, you know, worth, like, harassing and or physically accosting. I mean, the young people, the young in this town, the people that pride themselves on being skinheads, the problem, the hate problem is rampant. And all you have to do is sit there and listen. It's quite shocking.
And so, I guess you came down to City Council, I know, a week ago.
And lost my mind.
And you were damning those council members to hell, quite literally.
I wanted them to burn in hell, I really did.
You did say that. Now,
you think that's a bad thing?
I myself am not a believer in these places, but, you know, I certainly understand the intensity and depth of your anger toward them, because they hold within their, you know, chubby little hands, or slim little hands, I'm not sure what we call them, you and I maybe are chubbier than they, the power to change all this overnight. And that's
they really do,
yeah.
And they really do, and they don't have the will, and you know, they're beholden, it seems like, to so many people that they're trying to please. And, you know, whenever I took a job, one of the skills that I had to have was prioritizing. That's always come up, particularly in social work positions and any kind of governmental position. Can you prioritize? Can you pick what's important from what's not important?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the question that they didn't ask these people when they took the job, because it seems to me when you're a leader and you have the fate of the city in your hands, basically, I mean, you're in charge of running it properly, that there would be so many things to think about that you would have to prioritize. And surely the most vulnerable people would have to be first on your list. I mean, I feel bad for the people that can smell the water treatment plant, but they're in cozy, warm homes doing that at night. And there's all kinds of issues that come up, and it seems to me that you really have to be able to say, okay, you know, this is our biggest problem. These are the people that can't help themselves, whatever the issue is. And they haven't been able to do that. Or they could have, but they didn't. And now it's gotten to be a big, you know, dog and pony show. They don't listen to their own people that they've appointed.
The $10,000 Blue Ribbon Commission, the Homeless Issues Task Force.
You know, they just don't. They don't respond, but they make it look like they're just waiting for that one perfect solution.
Right, that's been the Rotkin line all along. Bring me all the solutions and I will ratify them for you. Bring me the proposals and I will enact them.
Well, you know, that's a really recognizable ploy, too. You know, this has been going on for so long that you, the public, provide the solution, find the funding source, and then we'll consider it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure what their job entails.
Getting elected and going out to dinner?
I mean, you know, I'm not really sure. Everybody works full-time jobs, raises their families, does all kinds of things, and they're supposed to run out, and they're supposed to find all the solutions to the city for these yokels.
Well, you know, I know that the Homeless Issues Task Force presented them with many, many safe zone proposals. I know of many safe zones where people could be, you know, could legally sleep, ranging from, you know, parking lots to city parks to property that was abandoned that could be purchased to simply making use of existing public spaces like parking areas. And I know even more recently that Mike Schmidt, an unlikely figure, I mentioned him earlier in the show, the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce, you know, emailed the city council and said, hey, you know, set up safe zones. I support that.
Mike Schmidt is a liberal compared to...
It's amazing. I mean,
the people we elected.
Schmidt and Peter Eberle,
he's,
you know...
He's turned around a lot. I've watched him interviewed. He finally got it.
He went before the Harvey West Neighborhood Association a couple nights ago. Might have been last night, night before. This is the group that was denouncing homeless people as drug users and denouncing the city council last year for its task force to examine the camping ordinance. And these were the people that Catherine Byers used as her excuse for not eliminating the sleeping ban in some parts of the city, saying there's just no place for them, the homeless. And he got a standing ovation from the Harvey West Neighborhood Association, I'm told, by Homeless Service Center Director Ken Cole, when he proposed safe zones in the county parking lot and in the police station parking lots for vulnerable people in their vehicles to sleep. And yet, we hear nothing from these great liberals on the city council. Now, after I finished talking to you, Roxanne, I'm going to be talking to Fred Geiger, who is very close to the ear of a man like Keith Sugar, a man who's, you know, supported this.
Close to the deaf ear, or what?
Well, yeah, that seems to be how you and I might put it. I'm sure he would take issue with that, and I'm going to ask him about that, as well as about this plaza issue, as you know, came up on Tuesday night, the issue of the should the city eminent domain the Rittenhouse property downtown to set up a plaza, and what about those dirty, grubby, social, undesirable homeless people? And I've always kind of steered clear of this issue because I thought, well, it's an issue that Byers wants to vote for, so it has the votes. I mean, they don't have the votes to eminent domain Rittenhouse's property yet, but they'll probably get them. And I don't really want to spend a lot of energy on that issue, particularly when they don't care that homeless people are getting the shit beat out of them and are being criminalized at night. I mean, maybe I'm not looking at the broader picture here. What do you think?
Well, I don't have any quarrel with Fred Geiger or someone that has the ear of Keith Sugar, but I would just invite them to look at what really has been done.
Mm-hmm.
And all, everyone else has done all the work.
But they don't have the votes. That's going to be what you'll hear some of these folks
say. I don't care. You know, if you're a person of principle, you stand up for what you believe. They used to lie to us and tell us when Celia Scott was in office, Catherine and Celia used to say there was this law that if you brought something up and you lost, you know, because you didn't have the vote, you could never bring it up again. There was a name for it and stuff. And subsequently, when it was researched, there was no such thing.
That's true.
So, you know, this is always the do-nothings. This is always the excuse that they use. And yes, I'm hot about this.
And you're hungry, too.
I am. And if anybody's listening who would like to join us,
Let me again reiterate what you're doing, Roxanne. You're on a fast. You actually have begun a water-only fast, what, 9 days ago?
I did. I did start drinking some V8 and water together.
Shame on you.
Because I was just getting so dizzy all the time, and I worked two jobs. So
how old are you?
I'm 53.
So this is not exactly a light decision on your part. You may be threatening your health if you continue this fast.
I guess I'm choosing not to look at that because I think of all the people who are hungry out there and cold and tired, AIDS people who can't take their medications because they have no food to take it with. I just choose not to dwell on that. We've asked the city council to join us to go without their suppers. For a month, to sleep without a blanket for a night, to go without sleep for a night. They can't even do that. I feel like if they would do it, they would be so much closer to some kind of feeling about what it's like. And, you know, I was so mad at the city council meeting, but subsequently what's happened over these days of not eating is it's been replaced by tremendous sadness. And I realize that my anger gets me through a lot of really painful, sad things. And I think this is one of the most painful and the saddest that I've encountered in a long time. And so besides being hungry, I'm tremendously grief-stricken. It's something that, you know, I really cry about now and really, you know, it's deeper than anger, definitely.
Wow. You think the council knows that you're on a fast?
I know they know. I did call them and let them know that I'd been on it, I think, on the second day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether they care or not is another...
You haven't received any bundles of groceries from the council?
No. No one's tried to wine me and dine me or, you know...
Well, Tim Fitzmaurice, if you're listening, I know you provided snacks for the armory over the winter, and I guess we should commend you for that, the 100 folks up at the armory. Maybe you can, offer a...
See, it's also...
A burger to Roxanne here. You could at least offer her an ear.
Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me,
right.
You know. I don't... It's hard to be strong. I just drove by... Where did we drive by? Someplace like Derwiener Schnitzel, and it actually smelled good. That's how low I've sunk. So.
You are just in bad shape.
So, but I am tired, and I am not, you know, I get dizzy easy. It is getting harder by the day, and...
You know, I think we should have regular reports. If you are able to do it, I'd love to have you kind of check in with the show every time the show goes on, if you're able to do so, and give us your thoughts. Because I think...
My hungry little thoughts.
Your increasingly famished thoughts. So I'm going to hope we can get you to do that.
I haven't started dreaming about food yet, but...
Right. Well, I'm hoping that maybe what you're doing will, you know, strike the dreams of the rest of us and make us take some kind of action. I've always, you know, been a believer in peaceful protest, and this is certainly one of the most peaceful forms of protest I can think of.
Well, I actually... The credit should go to David Silva, who did organize the rolling fast and stuff. It's just that I was just so devastated by the last meeting and watching them jerk all of these people that are working so hard around that I just went for it. I went for the whole kit and caboodle. But
You're talking about the way the city council treated the homeless issues task force.
Yeah. You know, and
who for their part turned around and said, "Oh, thank you very much. You know, spit on me some more." Right. That was the impression I got.
Well, you know, they keep thinking that if they stay in line and toe the line and stuff, that, you know, that they'll actually be listened to.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I guess people have to have hope, but...
Well, I can't get over my frustration and disgust at activists who should know better, like the chair, Linda LeMaster, who I like personally, and I have a lot of respect for her record, not realizing that this is a key opportunity to appeal to the community and not to try to play these political games, useless political games with the council while people are suffering and indeed dying out there.
Well, I have a hard time agreeing with you there, Robert, because I think everybody has a different style.
It's
and
true.
One of the things that I think is really important, since we are all after the same thing, is not to feel like people aren't doing enough or aren't doing it right. I've really tried to stay far away from that feeling because it divides all of us that actually want the same prize.
That's very true, Roxanne.
You know, I really think solidarity is a much better approach.
Well, it's hard for me to be in solidarity with the Homeless Issues Task Force when it turns away from the road that it was taking before, but I understand what you're saying, and I will try to... I can't honestly say that I agree with you on this particular issue.
I know you
issue.
Don't agree with me, but I think it's something to think about.
Well, I thank you, Roxanne. I'm gonna move on to hopefully Fred Geiger and see if we can get a hold of him and get his thoughts on what you've just said.
Robert, I want to tell you that I can't hear your program tonight. So when I go, I'm gone. I'd love to hear Fred and stuff, but we can't get it in.
We'll try and get you a tape later.
Okay.
Thank you, Roxanne.
Thanks for calling me.
And for those who want to join this fast, you can give a call to... I don't know if David has given out his number for this purpose.
Yes, for people who want to sign up, definitely.
He has. Then his number is 429-5284. If you want to sign on to the Rolling Fast, 429-5284. Anything else you want to say, Roxanne?
No, that's all. I think if it was good enough for Gandhi, it'll be good enough for us.
Let's hope it's good enough for the city council. Thank you.
Yeah, really. I really do think it's time for people to take a really strong stand. Because I think there's so many people in Santa Cruz that want to help, don't know how to help, feel helpless. So I really think it's time to let the city council know that you're just sick of them dragging their feet.
City council number, if you're moved by this, is 420-5020, 420-5020. You can call now. And then just push 1, and you're going to give your message to the entire city council, 420-5020. Tell them to end the sleeping ban, end the camping ban, and or set up safe zones. That's my suggestion. Would you support that?
Yeah, I sure do.
Thanks a lot, Roxanne.
Thanks, Robert. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tell me dusters on the corn and not men. You smile and say our time's gone away. I guess I should listen to the city politicians. Keeps telling me that these better days. Is there anybody left to walk a muddy mile? Is courage a word that's only said? Is it true them dusty days are days that never really were, but are only tales and books to be read? Have you heard about a country where the rivers run free? That's a place where I think you ought to go. Where the corn stands high, tall as the sky, on the great plains of old Nebraska.
And that was Phil Oakes from an early song. I don't even know the name of it, and it was recorded in the early 60s. Now, from the early 2000s, we have Fred Geiger on the line. Hi, Fred.
Hey, Robert.
And, what's shaking, Fred? You just got in, so you didn't hear the last caller, Roxana Kistapache, who's now on the ninth day of a fast. I guess it's a juice fast. her concern being the failure of the city council to do anything to decriminalize homeless people over the winter, in spite of the recommendation, the unanimous recommendation of its $10,000 Blue Ribbon Task Force appointed way back in August, I guess. And we were hoping you, as a person who's closer to the ear and such of Mayor Sugar, might have some.
Trying to blame me, huh?
Well, no. Trying to help you to appeal to the mayor. To maybe you have some insight into this situation. I know you're not an official spokesperson.
I haven't discussed it with anybody recently, Robert. But my belief, and maybe I'm being optimistic, or my hope at least, is that something is going to be passed before the armory closes, and especially involving people with disabilities. David Silva mentioned to me recently that people, they're taking anti-AIDS drugs, they'll be cut off their drugs if they're homeless, because I think the medical people are afraid that they won't have the structure in their life to take the drugs at the proper intervals, and therefore, if they're homeless, they can't get their, their anti-AIDS drugs, which is a pretty serious problem.
And you're talking about, I think, a concern David had regarding the eviction of people with AIDS from housing because of some, cutoff of funds. I don't know if that's...
I think there's some Section 8 housing, they call it, that was, things that were done in the 60s that are now expiring, and the houses can go back on the open market, and then, the rents go up to where people can't pay them, they're on disability.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, that's... And I think actually that there was some optimistic news on that situation, but again, for the much larger number of people, and admittedly not as close to critical illness as those with HIV positive conditions, the problem of people who are facing this incredible upsurge of violence, I guess you've read about it in the Sentinel finally, in that front page story?
Recently they had a report. There was I think they said 10 or 11% of the reported assaults were on homeless people, which is obviously out of proportion with the population.
Exactly. And I guess, the thing that really struck me when I listened to the, and I know you're not on the council, but you often give a different point of view than mine, and I think it's good to get the contrast. My feeling when I heard the city council on January 11th, when they heard the report of their $10,000 homeless issues task force, which a month before had unanimously said, look, put on the agenda as an emergency item right away, suspend the sleeping and camping bans until you can set up safe zones. And of course, they not only refused to do that, they wouldn't even talk about it. That's what they wanted them to do. They didn't think they necessarily had the votes, but they felt that a public raising of the issue would, get things rolling. And, Mayor Sugar refused to do that. Chris Krohn refused to do that. Mike Rutkin refused to do that. Let's dole out the honors all around.
Pointed them all. Yeah.
Well,
I think that they probably are taking some comfort in the fact that there's a shelter available at the moment, no matter how,
Not available anymore. It's been closed full since Friday.
Is that right? That finally happened. Huh?
That's correct.
That's interesting.
Starting on Friday, it was full because of maneuvers over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday, and then the rain essentially put it up to capacity, which I think now is being declared as 90. He's declared that the capacity is 90, I think at 90 or 85, and it's full as far as Ken Cole, Homeless Service Center Director, officially has stated, and yet we have no emergency sessions or special sessions. Instead, we have this sort of, Bruce Bratton endorsed, let's all get down and clap for the plaza type thing, which I support the plaza.
Yeah.
But we got the most vulnerable population out there getting beaten up, and not a fucking word, if forgive my French, about that from our great city council. Now, do you find this, is this okay with you?
Well, is that a loaded question?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so we don't even need to answer that question. I'm hoping that what they did was ask the task force to be more specific on actual programs, and I hope the task force will be able to come up with some programs that the council will be able to support and get them in place ASAP. I mean, it is unfortunate that the last time that there was the campground thing, it didn't work. I mean, basically there was a few individuals, as there are in every crowd.
That's not true, actually.
Threw things up for a lot of people.
We disagree with that issue.
Yeah, well, I think there was some real problems with it, and I'm saying mainly because it wasn't run properly. that the problem, I mean, there's always going to be a few, you know, whatever, you know, people with substance abuse problems or whatever, they have psychological problems that don't fit into a regular situation.
Well, the real problem was Mayor, I believe it was Mayor Mike Rodkin at the time, or maybe it was Mayor Scott Kennedy, I'm not sure, I guess Kennedy wasn't mayor, it was Matthews and, I guess it was Matthews and Byers who were mayor during that period, but, yeah, they, unfortunately, if you heard, and you probably did, you were in the audience for some of the dialogue between the Homeless Issues Task Force and the council, they didn't pay any attention to any of the specific suggestions that came to the Homeless Issues Task Force. It was a case of, you know, stay away from the tar baby, which has to do with the basic reality, which they refused to confront. And for their part, the Homeless Issues Task Force, though Paul Brundell made a manly effort as the shelter project director to say, look, guys, there's a new factor here. People are getting beaten up, it's time to act on this. City Council had nothing to say about that. It was this great silence.
Yeah, they're going through the, you know, the typical governmental thing of have somebody study it, and, you know, I mean, that's just, unfortunately, that's one reason I don't want to be any more involved in government than I am. I think the pace that things get done is pitifully slow and pitifully expensive, but I don't know, that just seems to be the sort of situation we're stuck in. I don't know how to get around it.
Well, I know you've proposed to me, and I think it was on the air before, you suggested that you thought City Council would be willing to, well, I guess now that the Winter Armory Shelter is full, the issue is here right now, but you suggested the issue would certainly appear in April when the Winter Armory Shelter officially closed and the capacity for dealing with homeless people dropped from 20% down to 5%. But have you, I mean, I realize this is probably not your issue, right? I'm not really, this is not something that is not the
uppermost. Oh, I don't know if anything is my issue. I'm on the Transportation Commission, so I'm trying to do some good in that area.
Right, that's more your neck
of the
woods.
I mean, I don't know that something is or isn't my issue.
Not trying to malign you on that regard, yeah. But I mean, but candidly speaking, you're not about to jump in with Roxanne and do a 9-day fast.
I did my one day last week at David's request.
You did? Well, good
yeah,
for you.
I could use a little fasting now and then anyway, but no, I mean, I think that it is a pressing issue and that, you know, I do want to see something happen. I mean, another thing I mentioned earlier, I was concerned about the effect on people that are disabled, but also that really, I mean, if you just want to get really down to the cold dollars and cents of it, I'm really disturbed. I used to work with kids too, is the effect it has on kids. But I mean, it's sort of psychologically debilitating, I think, for kids to be in that position. And, you know, I think that, on the other hand, they shouldn't be taken away from their parents because that's also psychologically debilitating. But kids can't really function normally in school and learn and adjust to, you know, growing and all the things that are involved with growing up psychologically when they're in a insecure position, like, you know, trying to sleep in the cars or bushes or something like that. So that's another area I'm really hoping the council will focus on is families and women with children. I think that's really, those two areas are where we really need to put our emphasis at first.
Michael Schmidt of the Chamber of Commerce has made a proposal. Michael Schmidt and I are not normally big allies on a lot of subjects, but you probably saw his email that came into City Council.
Yeah, I was surprised and pleased.
I mean, he took a position that was significantly to the left of the entire City Council. Now, it could be, you know, hogwash. Old Michael could be running a number on us.
Yeah, I wondered if he was running for council or something.
It could be he's running from the council like myself. But, you know, what's the reason that, from your perspective, that City Council does not seem willing, even the most liberal member, Chris Crone, made no plea for safe zones. He didn't say, look, I want to separate myself from the silence of the council here. I believe they have to act, and I encourage you all to call in and get us to act, because when you call in, we will. I heard nothing like that from him, and nothing like that from Keith Sugar. I mean, you know, they may have gotten their feelings a little bruised by some of us who said, why are you letting Catherine Byers lead you around by the nose on this issue? You know, they may not like people like myself, and that's certainly their right. But the issue, certainly the issue, is more important than any individual. And when you've talked to these folks, what do they tell you? I mean, do they say, you know,
well,
what do they say?
I'll tell you what they tell me, and I understand exactly what they're saying, is that, I mean, you have a belief, and other people have a belief, that if it's brought up every, let's say, every council meeting or frequently, that somehow that'll change some minds on the council. I don't particularly think that will. I think, and I don't think by mentioning Chris Crone and Keith Sugar, you're mentioning the two who are the ones who have actually voted for different homeless laws than we have now. I don't think they feel that it's going to do any good if they keep bringing it up until they've got the support from enough council members to enact something, and that the process that they're going through now is by taking the suggestions from the Committee on Homelessness and having them get specific with their suggestions and exactly what programs should be offered and how they could be operated, then hopefully they're going to pick up another two votes and be able to actually do something.
Yeah, but they're not talking about any of the real basic nitty-gritty solutions like dealing with the shelter crisis. They are asking to talk about other little things that don't have anything to do with the basic issue.
I can't remember exactly what things they directed the homeless committee to work on, but I believe there was about three that they asked them to come back with more specifics on.
Yeah.
And I believe one of them was camping in vehicles in city-owned parking structures. I don't think I remember the other one.
They've received that information as of November. I saw the information sent to Catherine Byers when she was still mayor.
Yeah, I don't remember all the details
of
what they asked for, but they asked for some specific things to be done by this task force. And I can understand how you see it as delay.
I only see it as delay because what they've asked for, they've already gotten. So it seems to me to be posturing for the public. I mean, that's why I'm hoping that you're going to say, no, they have a Nixonian secret plan to end the war against the homeless. That really underneath there's some... See, but what I'm thinking is that they don't.
I don't think there's anything going on other than what's in
public. Right, so nothing is going on. That's really what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Other than, and I don't even think what they're doing can be taken at face value. That's my problem. Mm-hmm. You're saying perhaps that it should be.
Well, I'm more optimistic. I'm hopeful that something is going to be done in the next 2 to 3 months. Yeah.
Well, you know, when I called you, I promised you also you'd have a chance to talk about the plaza, if you'd like. The problem with the plaza is it's kind of one of these vanilla issues that I think we all agree on. But if there's something you want to say to the general public about it,
I'll say something that you'll like, Robert.
It's
your show, and I want you to be happy.
Hey, man, cheer me up.
There is one issue there's the issue of the taking, which is totally bogus because the law requires the owner to be paid fair market value. So that, to me, is a real, just a joke to try to tell people that someone's going to be taken advantage of or something, especially since that lot's been sitting there for over 10 years, sort of taking advantage of the people of Santa Cruz by not, putting it to a productive use. But I did write a letter several months ago when the issue came to light, and I thought it was very strange that the merchants on the downtown mall that were complaining about certain types of people being around their stores are now complaining that certain types of people might be in the plaza, because it seemed to me if they don't want them in front of their stores, well, they would want them someplace else. So it's sort of like they want to complain about it any way you look at it. And it doesn't quite add up for me. I don't understand the logic there.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want someone in front of your store and something's going to cause them to go somewhere else, then they should be happy about it. And I don't, believe that there's going to be any kind of a problem with any kind of individuals in the plaza any more than there is anywhere else. You've got the same police force willing to take whatever the actions they take that apparently keep people in their place now. So how is that going to be any different in this other situation?
Mm-hmm. Did anything come out of the meeting on Tuesday, which the special city council meeting, that talked about the plaza that you think the public should know about?
Well, just that they had ordered the staff to look into several locations as far as the feasibility and the cost. And I was heartened that, because in the past it seems to me there's been this 4-3 split, and the minority members have almost, to me, been sour grape everything that come up from the four they would automatically say no to, which, really doesn't serve the citizens of this city to have three people be against anything that the other four happen to
be. You're talking about Rodkin, Matthews, and Hernandez against the buyer's majority.
And I was saying that I was happy in this case that Mike Rodkin at least seemed to have an open mind to some extent and say that he would be willing to consider all the sites, and particularly the plaza site on downtown there right across from the Cooper House, which is, to me, the obvious place. Like I said to the council, I'm not going to try to convince you that the heart of town needs to have a heart. I mean, it seems obvious, but Rodkin did say that he was keeping his mind open, and that perhaps if the people of Santa Cruz would support a ballot initiative to raise the funds through a bond, that he would support that location. So, I have to compliment him to, at least have his mind open just to that extent, and not decide against something before the facts are even known, like it appears that some of the council members are.
Mm-hmm. Anything coming up on the next regular council meeting, which is next Tuesday, that you think we should be looking for?
Oh, boy, Robert, you know, I think that they were going to appoint people to the commissions, but if you can trust the Sentinel,
right.
But maybe the article is accurate. I don't disparage the reporters at all. I think some of the reporters there are actually fair-minded individuals.
I'll disparage them for you.
And perhaps just oppressed workers like lots of other people. But if you can trust the Sentinel article, apparently the council may be taking Christopher Crone's suggestion to review the procedure and allow the council person to directly appoint one person each to these commissions instead of at large and by a council majority, in which case it may delay some of the appointments to these commissions for a couple of more council meetings.
Any word on the shoulder tap law, which we have?
That, I understand, is at 3 o'clock next Tuesday, which would be a good issue.
Well, that's interesting. It's at 3 o'clock and it's an ordinance change. That sounds rather peculiar. Usually ordinances are in the evening, right?
Don't know. I just got a call from someone, and they asked me to come down there and told me that's what it was going to be on.
Interesting.
So I know the ACLU is opposed to it. I thought it was hypocritical that the council went to the high school and so they could allegedly ask the high school students what they thought about it, and I was very impressed with the speaking quality that came from some of those high school people that said they would much prefer social services being funded rather than cops sticking out liquor stores to throw kids in juvie because they asked someone to buy them a beer, you know.
Yeah, but it's good for them, you know. You gotta slap them around sometimes. It's tough love.
Man. Yeah, I think it's there's other ways that, as they stated so well, you know, the money would be better spent preventing alcohol abuse rather than just arresting people once they're in a position of wanting to abuse it.
Well, Chief Belcher has assured us that there will be no juvie involved, that in fact all will go well with these young people, even though he didn't seem to have a clue as to the specifics of what the process would be.
I think Keith Sugar asked at the last meeting when this was on the agenda for more information about exactly what the process would be, and he didn't want to vote on it to support it if it was going to be actually throwing kids in jail for that when there was other alternatives to perhaps you know, treat the situation.
For which I commend Keith Sugar in spite of any criticism.
Okay, we got that on tape, right, Robert?
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy.
We were talking to Fred Geiger, and unfortunately right behind me is the hitman for Earth First, Uncle Dennis, who will soon be shoving a tree stump you know where if I don't move my buttocks onward. So,
go Dennis.
Hey, yeah.
Not in that direction, but just in Earth First,
hey,
general direction.
It's a woody situation, a knotty situation. So I thank you, Fred, and I again apologize for the brief amount of time. Maybe
no
I can get you for a longer period of time. I always say that.
Doesn't
maybe
matter
it'll
to me.
Sometimes happen.
Funny people have things to say. That's good. I like people get involved with the government.
And
thanks for your effort.
Get all your friends to call in and do a one-day fast on behalf of the sleeping ban repeal, or let's say restriction, so at least in some
restructuring.
Place.
Restructuring. How's that?
Restructured. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Fred.
Okay, Robert. Take care. Bye. See ya.
And that's about it, except for the musical goodbyes for Free Radio Santa Cruz's Bathrop Spears broadsides here tonight. My broadsides will be moving through the door shortly, and I'll be coming back on Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning. If you want to catch me between shows, I've got some update, breaking news, some heartbreaking news, whatever you want, or you need some information, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's the number for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. I've got a whole stack of stuff here couldn't get into, and we'll try to get into it on Sunday. Homeless Issues Task Force meets again on Monday, and we'll be talking more about that situation. In the meantime, let's go out mellow on the notes of Phil Oakes. And if you want to join the fast, again, if you don't want to call the Huff line, give a call to David Silva, 429-5284. And he can sign you up and show you which way to go away from the icebox for one day and toward the phone to call City Council at 420-5020.
Eric Anderson up here again, so I'm Phil, he's Doc. I wanted to bring him up here to do one thing, which is very much out of character with this whole program. It's a song, since this is a songwriter suit, I'd like to do a song by the two most successful songwriters in the world, Paul McCartney and John Lennon.
Okay. No relation.
So I should have known better with a girl like you, that I would love everything that you do. And I do. Hey, hey. And I do. So I never realized what a kiss could be. This could only happen to me. Can't you see? Can't you see? That when I tell you that I love you, oh, you're gonna say you love me too. Oh, and when I ask you to be mine, you're gonna say you love me too. So I should have realized a lot of things before. If this is love, you gotta give me more. Give me more. Hey, hey, hey. Give me more. And when I tell you that I love you, oh, you're gonna say you love me too. Oh, and when I ask you to be mine, you're gonna say you love me too. So should've realized a lot of things before. If this is love, you gotta give me more. Give me more. Hey, hey, give me more.
And we thank Robert for another great Bathrobe Spears broadside show. Once again, Robert will be back Sunday morning at 11. And more about homeless issues and living on the street. So.